Thank you. Praise God. God is good.
Yeah, all the time.
Amen. And before I go any further, I just want to say, Pastor Devon, I think I know what the fast is you're supposed to be on. You have to eat Brussels sprouts every day. Yeah. Nothing but Brussels sprouts. And chocolate for dessert. Yeah. Actually, I think I'd rather go on a full-fledged fast and eat Brussels sprouts every day. Praise God. No, it's good to be with you. Thank you again. I already thanked them in the first service, but so you don't miss out on the thank you. Thank you again. It's a privilege to be here. We always, my wife and I always love coming. She couldn't be here this time. She loves Florida. So she couldn't be here, and she loves you too, of course. Of course, amen. In fact, I don't know, lunch might be boring today without my wife here, but you know, no, you doubt it. Praise God. We just want to thank you for your partnership, and God's doing good things here. Amen. Like I shared in the first meeting, it's been a couple years since we've been here, I guess, so I'll just share about a couple of the outreaches. We did an outreach, of course, in India. We're in India a lot. In fact, I'm going to be there in about a month again, for about a month. Great things are happening, but one thing that happened last year, we did two crusades, one in a community of 10,000 people and the other in a community of 10,000 people. In the past, it'd be more like the community was 40, 50,000 people. That was still remote, but now we're going even more remote for more than one reason. One reason is because of the government. Kind of keeps us more under the radar. But in these places where it's 10,000, they're like a hub to about 40 other villages that they're surrounded by. India's got so many people, it's just unbelievable. In fact, India is one size, the land size of the United States, one third of the US. But it has more people than all of Australia, Africa, and South America combined.
Wow.
Yeah. And the funny thing about it is, if you take a train ride, you know, and go from one city to the next, far as the eye can see, rice paddies, you know. So it's not like the whole whole nation is just dense people, but where they are, there's a bunch of them.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to these places, and God is just doing wonderful things. Between the two crusades, remember the population of each town, surrounded by 40 villages, of course, so they're coming from the outside. We had about 7,000 decisions for Christ that we know of. And the reason why I say that is because when I arrived home, we received, my director called me and said the pastors are communicating with him that everywhere they go in the town, you know, to run their errands, people are coming up to them and said, "We listened to the crusade from our house. We didn't attend, but we were listening, and we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior." And it's just tremendous. At the first crusade, four different people were healed of paralysis of some degree. Some would just be an arm. One lady, though, was carried to the meeting. Didn't even speak the language, my language, of course, English, or Telugu, the language that the messages were being translated into. She didn't even speak that language. She just spoke her little remote tribal language. And I don't know if someone was translating in her ear. That'd have been difficult because the speakers are very loud. It's outdoor. I mean, that's why people were listening from their homes. But anyway, nonetheless, Jesus healed her. And she left walking. Hallelujah. Amen. God's a good God. Amen. Many healings. A lady was healed of cancer. Just all kinds, you know, we could spend a lot of time on that, but then I wouldn't be able to share everything I have in my heart to share with you. Amen. But God's doing great things. My wife and I and one of my sons was just in Myanmar, which is used to be known as Burma. And what a strategic place, surrounded by five nations, right there next to Thailand, Cambodia, near Vietnam, India, China. We were at one place at our conference. There was actually a lot of Chinese people in the town where we did a pastor's conference. We were five hours from the border, the Chinese border. In fact, we met a man, this is nice, met a dear man who was in my amen corner, hallelujah, who was a missionary to China for 25 years. He took in, via backpack through the jungle, 50,000 Bibles into China. An old man, just a delight to meet. That's a hero right there.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. You know, the world celebrates, you know, the Hollywood celebrities and athletes, but the Bible talks about in Hebrews 11 about the men of whom the world was not worthy. Are you listening to that? There are people whom the world is not even worthy of them. That's a strong statement. It's the people that most people haven't heard about. Amen. Those who are behind the scenes, those who are laying their lives down. Like a dear friend of mine, when we lived in India, he lived down the street. He also is a missionary to Burma. And he goes into a part of, you know, when it was under military rule, he would go in. He's established 40 churches there. And he's been arrested and imprisoned twice. Put in a 5 feet by 7 feet cell with 10 other people. Maybe he was the 10th man, but anyway, at least 10. 10 or 11 doesn't really matter at that point, does it? And so they take a shift because they're standing literally body to body. They said they would take a 1 hour shifts. One person gets to sit down for an hour, and then it's the next person's turn. He was in there for 5 days, and they couldn't eat the food that was served to them by the authorities because they had broken light bulbs, mix it in with the food, which would be a nice, slow death. And he did it for the sake of the gospel. So when you said what you said this morning, those were very kind words. This man right here, he's a hero. Of whom the world is not worthy. Now, little old ladies were sneaking by and giving them some food when no one was looking, so they got to eat a little bit. But after 5 days, he got out on bail, and then he went right back to the very village where he was arrested. He looked me in the eye and says, because my people needed me. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Well, listen, the harvest is plenteous. There are many villages right there in Myanmar. I was just there. I was there in September. I was just there in December. Actually, just so you know some of where your money's going, this year we were in 5 different nations, 2 of those nations twice, plus in the States ministering, plus we have a street ministry in downtown Tulsa now. So we're kind of busy. Hallelujah. But Myanmar, I mean, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. There are many villages in Myanmar that have not one church. Well, maybe someone in this room will become a hero and take the gospel to an unreached village. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, are you kidding, Mark? Yes, I'm very serious. Amen. Because the harvest is plenteous. You know, I don't know about you. I don't know if anybody here knows a farmer. When it's harvest season, it's before daylight till after dark, lest any of it is wasted. lest any of the harvest is lost. But we need to be that way with winning souls. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We need to be that way. There are people there, precious, precious people who've never heard of Jesus Christ. Never heard. So when I was just there, we were doing it was like a one-day meeting. This was just one day. We were there for over 3 weeks, and we did two conferences and ministered in a Bible school and did church meetings, and it was just a glorious time. But one particular day, we ministered for a lady pastor, just like Pastor Peggy. So this lady used to worship spirits, demons, sacrifice animals to them, and get all oppressed and possessed. But Jesus set her free. And Jesus is now her Lord and Savior. Now she's the pastor. And so we were there. I taught a good hour and a half in the first session. And just tremendous. They invited, it was about 13, 15 Buddhists. And my contact said, "You don't realize, Brother Mark, how difficult it is to lead one Buddhist to Jesus." So we're very thrilled when people are getting saved when you're here. And so it's primarily a time of teaching, you know, for the believers there, but there's also Buddhists, 13 of them. Well, 13 of them received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.
Hallelujah.
Then we had lunch. Then I taught on In Him Realities, and I was going to close the meeting because I thought, man, it's out kind of outside, and these are very brand new. I mean, they've never heard anything before. So I'm praying for them, and while I'm praying, like, the Lord's just like saying, no, you need to press the issue about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. So for about a couple minutes, I explained it, and right there, I mean, not all of them were there from the first session, but a good dozen of them were baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. We had this precious lady, she's there, Buddhist, just received Jesus that day. She's there praying, and all of a sudden, you know, we pray because we fall because we have a catcher behind us, and we just like, kind of like, no, this lady, she's like this, and next thing you know, she's falling forward. We caught her, and she laid on her face praying in tongues. I don't know for how long. It was beautiful. And shouting and just getting loud. And she never, you know, I said, "What's going on with you?" And she said, "Well, I've never experienced anything like this in my life. This is wonderful." She was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That's the key to taking a nation. Faith and the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. As well as multiplication. Training people up. Hallelujah. Let me just tell you this story. We were, in September I was there, and on one day he took me to go just make house calls for the sick. Well, there's this older man. He had suffered a stroke. I forget how long he'd been paralyzed, but he's there. He can hardly move even with a walker. And Jesus began to heal him. Hallelujah. He's walking back and forth in the house with no walker. And I found out recently that he's now leaving the house.
Yes.
With no, amen. Hallelujah. Well, what happened as a result of that? His nurse, who was a Buddhist, a young lady, and his driver, who was a Buddhist, right there on the spot, received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and are serving the Lord today. Hallelujah. That's how you win a nation. That's how you reach a city. You got to have the supernatural.
Yes.
Are you here? You gone home? You already thinking about lunchtime? All right, let's go to Jude. And so we appreciate your partnership. Hallelujah. If you want to receive our newsletter, here's one right here. There's a new one's going to be going out really soon. Sign up out there in there, actually this newsletter, and there's another newsletter out there that you can take for free. Take a bunch of them if you want. I got tons of those things at home. Of course, I do have to go to another church before I go home, so Just take a few. No, actually, you take them all. That's right. I have a bunch more in my suitcase. But praise God. This is good stuff. We also, the Lord dealt with this about a year or two ago to begin teaching in these. So it's not, we actually cover less of the details of the Crusades. We used to like talk about all the miracles that were, but now we just kind of say, God did a lot of miracles. Because he did. I mean, it's the same all the time. You know what I mean? But then we teach. So like on this one right here, build yourself up. Amen. It'll be a blessing to you. Praise God. We do not, I repeat, do not beg for money. Amen. Because if we have to beg to get money, if you give because you feel sorry for us, when we start doing well, you'll quit giving. Amen. Isn't that right? No, we only want people who give who believe in the vision. That's all. Amen. When God called us, he called our partners. Amen.
Amen.
And so we're taken care of very well. Praise God. Amen. All right. Are you ready? Let's go to Jude. Jude, the little letter of Jude, which is right before the book of Revelation. Are you happy this morning?
Yes.
Praise God. I really appreciate the fact that you guys are getting ready to go on a 21-day fast of some sort. Amen. It's life-changing.
Amen.
Amen. Good things happen. A lot of times you don't even see the results while you're fasting. But then afterward, it's like, oh my, this happens, that happens. And I believe that today what I'm going to share with you will really help you. And be a blessing to you for this 21-day fast, but hopefully for the rest of your life as well. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this beautiful church and this leadership here and all the people who come here. We thank you for your plans and your purposes for this place, for this church, and for the individual lives here. Lord, I trust you right now for utterance in the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you that you make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer, a skillful writer right now, that the Holy Spirit will take this word and write it on our hearts. And I thank you for the privilege that each of us have to be doers of the word and not just hearers. And as we're doers of the word, we will see fruit. There will be transformation. And I give you glory and honor for what you'll do in our lives, in this place, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Jude, verse 20, it says, but you, beloved, everyone say, I'm loved. Beloved means really loved, but you, really loved one, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, I think it would be good just to say, notice it says there in verse 20, but you. So he's contrasting something. Actually, if you look at the whole letter, he's basically dealing with apostates. People who once were in the faith and departed from the faith, including teachers. But we've seen that happen in this nation in the last few years. Are you listening? Praise God. They were popular at one time, and then all of a sudden, they, you know, I don't know what happened to them, but maybe because they didn't want their tithe to be diminished, they compromise, and they start embracing false doctrines. Amen. Well, that's what was happening in Jude's day, and he's encouraging them to contend for the faith. But notice at the end here, he describes them in verse 19. It says, these apostates, these are sensual persons. Amen. Now, that could be not just sexually sensual, but they're governed by their emotions. They're governed by their senses. They have fits of rage, or they do this. Everyone yields to the flesh differently. Amen. But they're sensual persons who cause divisions, having not the Spirit. How many of you want to be a sensual person? No, I don't want to be a sensual person. Amen. Now, we're all growing. Amen. Well, what's one solution to combating sensuality that would try to get on you? But you, beloved, verse 20, but you, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. As I shared in the first morning service, I received Jesus as my Lord, as my Savior, when I was 7 years old. Didn't do much with it, though. I was just a typical kid wanting to play around, football season, play football. Basketball season, play basketball. Baseball season, play baseball. And when I'm not doing that, I'm playing hide and seek and watching TV and, just a typical kid,
Yeah.
And so didn't do much with it, didn't grow much. Then a couple of years, I don't know actually how old I was, but a few years later, I received the gift of the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues. Didn't do much with that either. I saw zero change in my life, at least from the outward. Of course, I wasn't even looking for change. I still wanted to play. I just sports. And it, by then, probably girls too. Even though I was young, Girls and sports, that's all that mattered, right? No, I wasn't that much into girls, honestly. That sounds really bad. Anyway, praise God. Hallelujah. Anyway, I was just a kid. I didn't grow. I didn't grow up spiritually. See, just because you're born again, just because you received the gift of the Holy Spirit, doesn't mean you're going to grow. You've got to do something.
Hello.
You got to put the word in you.
Yeah.
Amen. And you got to pray. You got to seek God.
Yeah. Hello. Go ahead.
What we heard as little kids, read your Bible, pray every day. You'll grow, grow, grow. If you don't, you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. Isn't that right? It's the same. Amen. But when I read Jude 20, as well as another verse that we're going to read here in a moment, and I began to act upon it. Everyone say, act upon it.
Act upon it.
I started seeing change in my life. Suddenly, the desires of heaven are inside of me. Suddenly, I have a desire for miracles. Where'd that come from? Suddenly, I had a desire to see people saved. Suddenly, things are falling off my life that didn't belong there. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I began to dive into the things of God. Suddenly, my Bible was the love of my life. Why? Because I understood it now. It made sense to me. My stepfather, a tremendous testimony. Many years ago, actually, this was happening probably when I was like 4 or 5 years old. I was just, kids are not aware of these things. But, he was a hippie. You know what I mean? He had hair down to here. He got saved in that Jesus movement, right? We need another Jesus movement, don't we?
Hello.
Hallelujah. Amen. Get those hippies saved out there. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, anyway, he got saved, but that wasn't the solution for everything that was going on in his life. I mean, it was the beginning.
Yeah.
But he, because of his practicing of drugs and alcohol and studying the occult, was severely oppressed in his mind to such a degree. I just asked him to tell the testimony to me again, and every time he tells it, tears just come to his eyes. He'd lock himself in the bathroom and just start wailing and screaming, and my mom would be outside saying, "What's going on? What can I do for you?" He almost lost his mind. He said every vile thing you could think of was harassing him in his mind. Thoughts that are not worth repeating were plaguing his mind, and he almost snapped. Are you here?
Yeah.
And he found out, he realized that his hope was the Word of God. He was into this stuff. He told me he had a whole library of occultic books of studying UFOs and all of this stuff. And he thought it was all real. And it opened up a wide open door. And also the drugs and the music he was listening to.
Hello.
You are what you eat.
Hello.
Amen. if you feed on sex, drugs, and rock and roll in your music, that's what you will become. If you feed on the occult in your music, that's what you become. Amen? You are what you behold. What you become is what you're looking at. And so if you're listening and listening, and these lyrics cause you to imagine things that aren't godly, then you need to put it aside, not just for 21 days. Unless you want that for your future. Amen. So he laid all this stuff aside, but he started reading. Listen carefully to me. I'm not saying you have to do this. He started reading 60 chapters of the Word every day. Why? He was desperate. And he knew if he's going to get delivered, it was going to be through the Word of God. Amen. Hebrews 4:11, the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Notice the Word of God can penetrate your personality completely. Where doctors can't get to, the Word of God can.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, he described it like this. Of course, you can't relate. If you go just a little farther north, you could. Snow. How many know when it snows outside and it's really cold and the ground is frozen, that snow can pile up. It does no good to the ground. It doesn't water the ground until it melts. And he did not understand what he was reading, but he just kept reading it and reading it and reading it. And it was like it was a giant snow pile of knowledge. But then he got baptized in the Holy Spirit and he began speaking in tongues. And that knowledge of snow, so to speak, melted and went into his heart and he was changed and has been on fire for God ever since. Are you here? But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. How did I get off on that? I don't know. How did that lead in there? But anyway, it was good anyhow. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. When I started praying in tongues on a daily basis, I began to see change in my life. You got to be intentional about it. I know for me, and thank God, my stepfather, he did this for about two days or so. It wasn't forever. It was just something that it was a seed planted into me. He took me to my bedroom. He says, "Okay, Mark, we're going to set your alarm clock. We're going to set it for 5 minutes. And you're going to pray in tongues right here." You probably read one of these scriptures to me. "We're going to pray. I'm going to go in the room next door. I'll be right there praying." He did that probably so I wouldn't feel so shy. So you're going to pray for 5 minutes. I'll be right next door praying in tongues for 5 minutes. Now, even though we only did that 1 or 2 days, it planted a seed inside of me. So that when I began to really commit to the Lord, I went back to that. And I was like, "You know what? Here's my watch. It's such and such a time. I'm going to pray for this." This was a landslide for me. There was going to be a Bible study that evening. He led Bible studies. "I'm going to pray for 20 minutes in other tongues, whether I feel like it or not." And I did, and it was wonderful. Did I feel goosebumps or anything? Nope. I just prayed in tongues for 20 minutes. But then the day came where I was praying more and more and more, and heaven's reality started to become real to me. The plans of God became real to me and are continuing to become more real to me. Are you here? Why? My inward man was being built up. I was exercising my inward man. How many of you know? 1 Corinthians 14, you might as well go there. 1 Corinthians 14:14, it says, "If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth Or you could say, Amplified says, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prayeth. Well, so when you pray in tongues, you're exercising your inward man. Now, for those of you who go to the gym, I like to go to the gym. I really like to go to the gym. I just don't like the day after leg day if it's been a long time since I've been to the gym. Arms, no big deal. Chest, I like it. I like that soreness. But legs, when you try to go to the bathroom and it's a struggle, it's really not good. Have to hold on to the railing to go up the stairs. Huh? Are you listening? And then your wife kind of leans on you a little bit. Ah, get off me. Amen. What happened? What happened? You become aware of that muscle that you exercised. Mm-hmm. You want to become aware of your spirit? Exercise it. Yeah. Good. Amen. Amen. And praying in tongues is one way you can exercise your inward man. The value of that is immense. Why? Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. God will lead you. He will guide you through your spirit, not your emotions, not your circumstance, not your intellect, your spirit. Your spirit knows. Your mind reasons. Never forget that. Your spirit knows. Your mind reasons. When God is leading you, your spirit knows it. Your mind will tell you 1,000 reasons why it won't work. You got to go with your knower. But she's beautiful, Brother Mark. I want to marry her. Your spirit knows. Your mind reasons. Just because she's beautiful doesn't mean she's going to be beautiful 5 years from now. Hello. When she's waking up in the morning with the bad breath, like everybody has bad breath, except this time you're aware of the personality that is contrary to the things of God. Are you here? Or are you going home?
That's good.
Amen. Oh, if we'd learn to listen to our spirits, we would save ourselves a lot of heartache, a lot of trouble. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Thank God for the Holy Ghost who dwells in our spirit. Now, 1 Corinthians 14, look at verse 4 to begin with. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. So there it is. When you pray in tongues, you're building yourself up, you're edifying yourself up like a building. And as Young E Cho once said, Pastor Cho of South Korea, he said, you determine how large your spiritual house is by how much you pray in tongues. You determine it. That spiritual invisible house inside of you. The capacity to hear from God, the capacity to walk with God, the capacity to bear fruit for God. It's greatly determined by how much you pray in tongues. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. What time do y'all finish usually? Huh? 12? Okay. All right. Praise God. Well, then let's just look at verse 2 then. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, look at it. It says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but unto God. Amen. Amen. See, the gift of tongues is the same in essence, but different in use for different purposes. For example, there's public tongues. With interpretation. Amen. We need more of that in the church today. Hallelujah. America has kind of let that slip away. Amen. The churches in America. really, probably churches worldwide. Well, a lot of the churches are in the other parts of the world, this is something new to them. They just know that Jesus saves and heals. But tongues with interpretation, we need that today. Amen. But what I'm primarily dealing with, though, is our private use of tongues, a devotional side. Notice it says, he who speaks in a tongue, notice speaks. Everyone say speaks.
Speaks.
Not screams, speaks. Amen. Because if you scream in tongues, you're not going to last very long. You're going to lose your voice. Amen. I mean, when we go, some of you, I'm sure we're all going to make sure we eat lunch today, right? Because tomorrow's the big day, right? Hallelujah. So, you know, we're not going to go to lunch and scream. We're going to go to lunch and speak. Commune. He who speaks in a tongue doesn't speak to men, but unto God. Wow. You think about that. Just what an honor to have an audience from God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. That word mysteries is in the New Testament 27 times. And it means, it could be translated, hidden things, hidden counsels, hidden plans and purposes. Amen. So I want to land on just one thing today. There are four different kinds of mysteries you could be praying out. Mysteries about God, that you would know him more. The mystery of God, the mystery of you, who you are in Christ Jesus. The mystery of people in need. You know, someone's going through a hard time and they just keep coming to your heart. They keep coming to your heart. Maybe they live in another nation and you can't even reach them, but you can pray for them in the Holy Ghost. If we had time, and if I had even done more, I mean, if I was more diligent, I could probably come up with at least a dozen stories that I've heard go through all my books and stuff of incredible stories of people who knew that someone was in danger, but they didn't know what the circumstance was. And this is before cell phones and communication, and they pray for them in the Holy Ghost. They put it in their diary, and that person is suddenly raised up on that same day, and all kinds of wild things because of praying in tongues. Amen. People in need. But the part I want to just briefly touch on for a second here is when you pray in tongues, one of the mysteries that you're going to be praying about is God's divine counsel, his counsel, his purposes, his plans for you, for your life, or for your local church, or the body of Christ at large, the church universal. Amen. God has things he wants to do. They need to be prayed out. They need to be prayed out. Now here in Acts 19, did I tell you to go there? I'm not even there. Wow. Wow. Acts chapter 19. Real briefly, I want you to see something here. Here's Paul, the Apostle Paul. He had had up to this point a very powerful, successful ministry up to this point. But notice what it says here in verse 21. It says, when these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit. I'm going to say purposed.
Purpose.
Not with his mind. In the Spirit. Amen. Notice, Paul purposed in the Spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, everyone say saying. See, you pray it out in tongues, and then a lot of times you say it, you speak it forth in your own tongue. God gives you the interpretation. A lot of times that happens. Hallelujah. Amen. I could give you examples, but we won't. Notice it says, when he had passed through Macedonia, Achaia to go to Jerusalem. Everyone say, go to Jerusalem.
Go to Jerusalem.
Saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. Now, why would the Holy Spirit see fit to put this verse in the Bible? He went to all kinds of places. Why is it set, put this in there? It's very simple. When Jesus appeared to Ananias and sent him to go lay hands on Paul right after he'd received Christ, Jesus said to him, Paul is a chosen vessel of mine to take my name to the Gentiles, to the kings, and to the children of Israel. That was his mandate. Up to this point in Acts 19, he had only taken the name of Jesus to the Gentiles and to the children of Israel. When he went to Jerusalem and was bound, and from there went to Rome, that began the process. From his binding in his captivity in Jerusalem, he stood before and preached the gospel to Governor Festus, Governor Felix, King Agrippa, as well as the king of all of Rome, Caesar himself. Amen. So this was a big deal. This was a big deal. It was the plan and purpose of God. How did he get it? It said he purposed in the Spirit. How did he do it? Praying in the Spirit. Because when you pray in tongues, what are you doing? You're talking to God about hidden counsels, plans, and purposes. In the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. God is a good God. So let me encourage you. Give time. Give yourself over to praying in tongues.
Yeah.
Amen. At first, it's a struggle. It's like, you know, it's like a pastor said, treading through mud. But then it becomes your life. It becomes, oh, I can't wait to pray. Let's pray. Driving to work, I'm going to pray in tongues. While I'm taking a shower, I'm going to pray in tongues. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. All right, let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I thank God for this wonderful gift. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes you, and really we just, I tell you, we need to let this 21 days be a catalyst for you.
Yeah.
That prayer becomes an addiction. Because amazing things can happen. Just had a lady, she told my wife, her daughter was extremely ill, mentally ill. And it was a fight, it was a struggle. You know what she did? She prayed in tongues for that daughter 5 hours a day for 5 years. Very severe case. After 5 years of pressing in, daughter was completely healed and is healed to this day. Hallelujah. Great things happen. Great things happen when we pray in the Holy Ghost. Everything I'm doing today, I contribute it to praying in tongues. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, if you're here today, why don't you bow your heads, close your eyes. If you're here and you say, Brother Mark, I appreciate your message, but a lot of it doesn't even make sense because I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Well, today's your day. Today's your opportunity. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your sins will be washed away. You'll become a child of God. God will recreate you in Christ. You'll become a new person in Christ. If there's anybody here like that, say, I need Jesus. I've never accepted him as my Lord and Savior. And I want you to today, right now. Lift up your hand. Anybody here like that? Is there anybody here? Say, I need Jesus. Praise God. If you have accepted Jesus, lift up your hand. real high, bold and strong. Hallelujah. Good, good. All right. If you're here today, now there's a couple who didn't raise their hands. So if you haven't raised your hand yet, you're still welcome to with this next invitation. But if you're here today, you have been born again, but you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, like we just taught, this powerful, wonderful gift that God gives us, by which we can edify ourselves, pray out the plans and purposes of God. There's anybody here like that? You'd like to receive this wonderful gift. Two young men did in the first service. Anybody here? Anybody else? All right, wonderful. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Hallelujah. I want to receive the, yes, I see that hand, young lady. Praise God. Lift it up high. Be bold about it. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Yes. Anybody else? Say, I want to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I want to pray in other tongues on a regular basis. Now, that's not the only purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. God bless you. That's not the only purpose. Amen. However, it is the initial evidence, and it is the, I mean, it is life-changing. Bible says in Acts 2:4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began, I like that, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It was the beginning of a new lifestyle. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Praise God. All right. There was a few of you who raised your hands. I'm going to invite you to come down here and just stand in front of me. Just face me. And I'll pray with you, but then we're going to send you to a place of prayer. Hallelujah. Anybody? Go ahead. If you lifted your hand, come on down. Come on down. The price is right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. We won't embarrass you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Where's that little girl at? Come on, little girl. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Now, there's at least two other people who raised your hand. You raised your hand really high. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. We just want to help you. Amen. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Anybody else want to come down here? Praise God. Praise God. All right. Who's going to be our, you're the man? All right. Praise God. All right. If you guys would look at me, Pastor Steve's going to help you in just a moment. He's going to pray with you. And I'll encourage you to ask a bunch of questions. Make sure you're sure on the inside that you're ready. Amen. That you know what you're doing. It's going to be a blessing for you. Amen. But just like this little mini iPad, let's say it's a gift. If I wanted to give it to you, how do you get it? That's right. You just reach out your hand and say, thank you. That's how it is with the gift of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to earn it. You just receive. Hallelujah. Let's all stretch our hands forward and pray for these precious sisters here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for my sisters in Christ. And I just thank you, Lord, that they will come, or they will receive, excuse me, what they came to receive. And I thank you that each of them, they will receive the mighty Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Lord, they're going to encounter your love, and the things of the Spirit, the things of God will become more real to them ever, more than ever before. We give you thanks and honor and glory for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. 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 God bless you guys. I'm going to invite you to go with Pastor Steve here. He's going to answer your questions. He's going to talk to you and make sure you receive everything you came to receive. Glory to God. Well, we love you. Appreciate you. And pray in tongues. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Live a life in the Spirit. Amen. Bless you.